Welcome back to the Mellow Distinct Show. I'm Shirley Nordrum.
I'm Sharon Nordrum.
And today we're visiting with Dee Croker. Thanks so much for sitting down with us today.
Yeah, thanks.
And you're a star quilt maker.
Yes.
When did you start that?
Started making block quilts when I was 16 with my mom. I learned how to do stars when I went to the Leech Lake Tribal College back in the early 2000s. Made my first star quilt there, hand quilted the whole works. And then since then, I just kind of played around with the two different variations of quilting that I've learned and do what I do now with the finger quilted, self-binding, cut all my diamonds individually the way I was taught, you know, taking stuff I learned from both places and just kind of combined them into one.
And what you've learned on your own.
Yeah, and what I've learned on my own with what doesn't work. There's some some blankets at home that didn't last very long. But
who was your original teacher that taught you the...
Lena Cloud from Inger.
Okay.
She's a family friend. She's passed on now, but she taught me and my mom how to do her style of quilting and how to, you know, the finger ties, how to make sure that they're going to stay tied. Of course, you know, after washing, sometimes they still don't, but it won't affect the integrity of the blanket if a few pop off, so that's not it's not too bad of a deal.
Yeah.
You know, how to do the binding, how to stuff them so that's, you know, we don't use batting.
I use
other material, blankets. I found, like, with my own personal quilts, like when I try to do the hand stitching and or the hand quilting with the batting, over time, you know, with my daughter used her star quilt, the first one I made, like a daily basis. She drove that thing everywhere. And over time, like, you know, the stitching's come out, like where the quilting was at, the batting bunched up, and I was like, okay, I'm going back to this other way. So
I've had that happen.
That way they can be used repeatedly. The blankets that we have that we did in the style that we learned from Lena, they get washed repeatedly, they get drug around by the kids, and they hold up a lot better. So
yeah.
I kind of wanted to do a star quilt that would hold up that way. So it's been working. I haven't gotten any back yet. So
I don't see how anybody could bring any of them back, even if it didn't hold up the best. They're so beautiful.
Yeah, so my mom passed away in October of 2017. You know, trying to find ways to try to make that payment for her funeral services and her final costs. December, I walked out of the Joann's. I was just like, I had $40 left for that month, and I was just like, I'm gonna make these blankets. So I made 3 blankets out of $40, and they went. So, and I went and just bought more material, and I've kind of been doing that since. Just going out and buying more supplies. It's kind of become a bad thing now. It takes up a whole room and then some. So. But,
do you use all new material, or do you ever just... You ever try using, like, go to rummage and you see, I don't know, shirts or whatever? My mom used to do that.
Yeah.
She just, like, then she'd cut up the pieces from other pieces of clothing.
With mine that, you know, that people buy or order, I always use new materials. Like, the ones for, like, personal or gifts, I use whatever I can find. It just kind of depends on the purpose of the blanket.
Yeah, I suppose people don't want to... If they're buying something...
They don't want to buy used material. I wouldn't, so...
Well, you don't know how old it is and how long it's going to last, if it's going to hold up for repeated washings, because the majority of your blankets are for babies and toddlers, right?
Yeah, majority of them are baby and toddlers. There's been a few adult blankets, but most of them are baby blankets, so I want to make sure that they're, you know... Yeah. I mean, and you don't know what they've been washed in previously, and chemicals and baby skin, and so there's a lot of different factors to...
There's things now with materials that I guess my mom didn't really have to deal with that much. But.
Well, and back in, you know, I mean, this is like mid-1990s when I first started learning. And, you know, our thread when you bought it was just automatically all cotton. The fabric when you bought it was automatically all cotton. The sheets, all cotton. And now it's like poly-cotton blend, and it's got, you know, all this polyester mixed in with it. It's just still, I mean, it holds up and it does, you know, still does a good job and everything. But, like, I recently had somebody that said, well, you know, I want this bike for my grandson, but he can't have anything polyester, or it has to be 100% cotton. So I checked, double checked materials, bought all cotton thread, bought all, you know, all the material, everything was completely cotton. And it was a little different challenge than what I've been used to, but it was kind of different. It was kind of nice to kind of go back to that old, like I could feel the difference, you know.
Yeah.
So that was
there's exciting. Definitely a difference in that feel of material from an all cotton.
Was the challenge finding the materials that were all cotton, or it is was it harder finding, to work with?
It's not hard. Like, I do a lot with flannel, so that's already 100% cotton anyway.
Oh, okay. Actually, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I do most of mine in flannel. That way they're, you know, lightweight without being real heavy, and you don't have to add the center unless they want it really thick and heavy for the babies. But it's breathable, it's cotton, you know. That was
soft.
A different challenge to work with because it stretches differently than regular material we would buy for quilt, you know. So, like, you know, the stuff that you get in your sheets or, you know, your little blankets, it's a little bit different.
So that new way that they make those star quilts, say, you know that way, but you don't typically do that?
No, I learned that way, but I chose not to do it that way. So
yeah.
I like the flexibility, number one, of doing the individual diamonds that I can change up after all they're cut. I can play around with the design. I can see how it's going to look. I can lay it out. If I have one piece of material that, you know, all of a sudden gets a spot on it or stretches funny, it's very easy to just switch that diamond out real quick and keep going without having to, like, replace, like, the whole line or something like that.
So, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
So there's a lot of different reasons why I still do. Yeah. And number one, that was the way I was taught. That's the old way, you know. And I like to do things kind of the old way, but kind of...
And then you're keeping her memory alive, too, by carrying on the teachings of your first teacher.
Yeah, because even back then with our block quilts, each block was individually cut. You know, same deal as the diamonds. We, again, laid out the patterns before we did them. And
yeah, so. I remember my mom doing that. You know, she didn't make star quilts, but even with block quilts, she'd, like, have a bunch of colors, and then she'd sit there and play with, you know, which blocks were going to look like what, and then put the bigger blocks together, with, you know. There's like four blocks to make one block, and then, you know, like how the colors matched up, and yeah.
Yeah, so our beds were in use a lot. We used to make the blankets me and my mom made were larger blankets, you know, full size queen size blankets back then.
So then they were decent sized squares too, right? At least about 3-inch squares?
About 3.
Our aunt, she made a quilt using 1-inch squares.
Oh, man.
And when she passed away, she wasn't finished with it. When she passed away, I got that quilt. I still have it at home. It will never be finished. But it's about maybe a quarter done.
Oh, man.
And I had...
Just make a pillow out of it.
I had all of the pieces that she had cut, because she had them all cut, too. And I don't know if I still have those or not. But she passed away in 1992, so it'd be a miracle if I still had those pieces.
Well, it's kind of hard to finish the quilt with all the pieces.
Because I'm not sitting and cutting out the one... They were 1.5-inch squares, so by the time you put the seam in...
Or take what's left and then frame it in with larger pieces. And
you could do that.
Hey, Dee, I got a project for you.
I kind of don't have time right now.
What's the size of your diamonds then? So when you do baby quilt, you have a different size diamond, obviously, than you do when you have
I have learned to do the full size, you know, like probably twin on up, you know, the adult sizes. Uh-huh. In a larger diamond, kind of larger, like the 4-inch diamond, like how I was taught. The babies and the toddler size, sometimes the throw blankets, I'll do 2.5-inch diamonds.
Okay.
So they're not real tiny, but they're still pretty small.
Yeah.
My first ones, I think, were like a 2-inch diamond, so they were even smaller, but I don't, those are all gone. You know, all those blankets are gone now. I'm not doing no more of those ones in that size. So.
Do you hand sew those, or do you still use a sewing machine?
I still use a sewing machine. Like, some of our baby block quilts we used to hand sew when I was a teenager, early 20s. I still have my daughters that I hand sew while I was pregnant with her. but the machine is a lot quicker.
You should do a workshop to teach people to do it old style, because, it, you know, I guess I can appreciate the fact that somebody figured out how to do it a new way and do it quicker, but there's just something about the tradition of keeping the old way of doing something, and I don't think too many people know how to do that. You should see if somebody like at the Northwest Indian Community Development or something would have you teach a workshop on how to make that quilt that way.
It would fit right in with the tutorial that you said you were working on. Yeah, to oh, have I still got to finish that.
I still got to finish that.
You're doing a tutorial on.
I got the pictures. Like, took some photos of. Well, I was in process of probably about 3 different blankets, so it's not even one blanket through the whole thing. Kept forgetting to take the picture. So I just took pictures along the way. Various blankets I was working on. You know, the end product and. Got everything typed up how I wanted, but now I have to put it into the video form. It was just everything going on. This is probably last month and a half. I haven't had time. So.
Yeah. Time's always a factor.
Yeah.
And speaking of time,
really cool, though, that you're going to eventually have that with your quilt so people can see that. Because I think that a lot of people, when they look at your quilts, they are thinking that you're doing the rows. And that's why I wanted to bring you in for this interview, because you are doing the actual diamond, sewing the diamonds together rather than the strips.
Old school.
So, yeah.
Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you. 2 things. Which one first? One is, like, how long does it take to do a quilt? Like, that's one thing that I think people get caught up in. You know, you sit down to teach them something, and they're always like, how long is this going to take? And that's their first question, and it's like, dude, you're just learning something new. It might take a long time, and it's, you know, I'm good at this. It's probably not going to look as, you know, there's this time element of becoming good at something, you know. So just, now that you're good at your quilts, how long does it take you?
With the style that I've been doing lately, it's taken about probably the last year and a half to really get it down where I'm down to about 8 to 9 hours from start to finish, from cut to last tie.
Okay.
Sometimes a little bit longer if I can't decide. Sometimes I can't decide on colors, or the machine doesn't want to work, or
right.
something happens sometimes. But usually probably about between 8 to 10 hours. When I first started out, it was probably about 12 hours. So yeah. I've kind of gotten a little bit faster cutting my diamonds. Got a little bit, you know, switch, just a simple switch from scissors to a rotary cutter, and the learning curve on that takes a little bit, you know, nick myself a few times, but that has saved like a lot of time and headache, because it doesn't, you know,
that
material
little,
doesn't shift, it doesn't get stretched, it's like a lot.
You're using that.
Using the rotary now instead of the scissors.
So. Yeah.
But I think have not I like, used that thing very much, but I did not like it.
I actually do. I'm so clumsy with scissors. I always hold them weird, and I don't know. I'm not a very crafty person anyway, so, you know, but that roller thing, I think I could get into that. Seems kind of fun.
I didn't like it at first, because I always get stuck. Well, this is the way I always did it, but after I practiced and just, you know, used it on, like, larger cuts first, you know, before I ever did the diamonds, you know, and then finally I just, like, hey, you know. cut my strip and then do my diamond, and it was a lot quicker now. So
maybe,
yeah,
it was with practice, but I've only
comfortable
used
with it. But I also did a lot of pizza work back in the day, so it's like using a pizza cutter.
Well, I know when she was doing that, I could just picture that little guy on Sesame Street. He's a little Italian chef, and I cut the pizza this way, you know.
You can make a funny video, and then when I cut the stars this way.
Don't give me ideas.
Hey, have fun with it. Enjoy life. So I was going to ask you, I've seen like satin star quilts. Have you ever worked with satin?
I don't like satin.
I would think that would be so hard to work with.
With satin, you get into more, like with the flannel, I don't really have to iron it. I can steam it. There's not as much fraying with satin. I mean, just your fingers from, like, you know, from, like, doing beading or from the quilting, you know, you get kind of, like, little cuts in your fingers. Just your fingers alone can snake it. So I don't like, like I probably would one day, but I don't want to.
I'd have to start out with like 4-inch diamonds because by the time it got done with the fraying, it would be the 2-inch diamond.
and nowadays they have, you know, stuff you could spray and do all this and that, but I don't like all that extra chemicals, I guess you could say.
So I've seen them. They're pretty.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
They feel lovely.
And I just like, when I see people that make them, I'm just like in awe. I'm like, you're talented. You know, I'm not gonna... That's a lot of talent, a lot of patience, you know. So, I probably won't do satin. I don't like satins.
Would that be the hardest material you think to work with? You know, I was just thinking about all the different kinds of materials there are out there.
For quilting, to me, I would say satin.
Yeah.
I think velvet would be hard to work with, too.
I don't think I would use velvet in quilting. It's too stretchy.
I've seen it though. I did have antique quilt that was velvet. Yeah, I wore it out. I
haven't even attempted that.
Yeah.
Wasn't it a crazy quilt?
It was a crazy quilt and it was beautiful and it had
like
feather stitching for the top of it.
I can't believe I knew that. Feather stitching. I'm just proud of myself right now.
I'm actually proud of you too because she knew feather stitching. But yeah, it was a gorgeous, gorgeous quilt.
And it was warm. I remember coming up with it. I don't know how you ended up with it, but it must have been Mom's.
I bought it at an auction sale, so why were you using my quilt?
I don't know. Maybe you gave it to me when I stayed at your house or something. I remember covering up with it. It was super warm. I was like, what? Because I was thinking, why would anyone make a velvet quilt? And then after I covered up with it, I was like, oh. This is warm. This is really warm. So, have you ever done a crazy quilt?
Crazy enough to try one?
I just do the blocks and the stars.
Blocks and stars. Yeah.
I try to find. It's been really hard up here. I want to take a trip down to like Park Rapids for material. When I go material shopping again, because we used to be able to get like these animal prints and panels and some more kind of Native American inspired. Fabrics, and it's really hard to find that in our local area now. But I usually try to get all my materials local without ordering online.
We were at a Ben, was it kind of like a Ben Franklin store in Detroit Lakes? Well, we were in a mall.
We were in Grand Rapids at that, it's called a mall, but it's the school downtown, the old school. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And there was that fabric store in there. Yeah,
that was really spendy.
Boy, that was expensive for that material.
No, I was thinking of that one little mall that we were in Detroit Lakes.
Oh, yeah.
They had some Native-inspired raccoons. Like, they're Native-inspired.
If anyone could see the look she just gave me with that.
I was like, I love raccoons, and they had them.
They had Native-inspired raccoons. Their masks were beaded. No, but you might want to check them out if you ever get over to Detroit Lakes way.
I gotta take a ride down that Park Rapids, Detroit Lakes area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My cousin stopped in the Park Rapids one, and she's just like, look. Look, and I'm just like,
that is a nice store too.
Yeah, so.
What about those quilt shops? They're all over the place, but I suppose they're just expensive.
There's a new one in Bemidji, and it's actually not too bad for price-wise.
One in Hackensack?
Hackensack.
There's a quilt shop too.
There is the fabric store that's in Nary, Woodland something or other. It's out of her house. She works with Watermark. So if you call Watermark, they'll give you her name because it starts with an S.
I can't remember. What I've been beginning to think is that there needs to be some kind of, I don't know what else
directory?
To call it. But yeah, like a directory for like the yarns and the people that work with fibers and for the...
Just supplies in general.
The quilt shops, you know, where do you get your supplies?
Yeah.
Yeah, because... Maybe that's something that I could do that would be, through my work, that would be helpful to artists, is places where you can get, you know, like, so many artists I know don't know where to get their prints, you know, a picture taken of them and then made into prints, and they don't realize that Leech Lake Tribal College has a print shop, you know?
She uses that.
That's what I've been using. Yeah.
So,
love it, Uncle.
You know, knowing where to get those things done is, I think, becoming a challenge because little mm-hmm. got these little pop-up things. I was cruising. Actually, I was trying to get to Bemidji by a quicker route, which turned out to not be a quicker route. And I was way in the middle of nowhere coming from White Earth to Bemidji. And there was a sign out by the road that said, yarn. And I'm like, really? This is in the middle of nowhere. So I'm telling her about it. It's one of our Facebook friends. Didn't even know where she lived.
Found it.
Yeah, she has beautiful yarns and she does needle felting and all sorts of stuff. And
what about your yarns then that you tie your quilts with? Are you particular about where you get your yarns, or are you just kind of
grab? I use like flossing or like the real thin yarns.
Yeah.
Just not because they have to be thin enough to be able to go through the layers of the blanket without creating large holes or something.
What about colors? What's your favorite colors to work with?
I honestly cannot answer that.
You like all colors?
Every blanket I finish is my favorite one to date. So every time I finish one, I'm like, oh, this is my favorite. This is just beautiful. I don't want it. It has to go. And then I finish another one. Oh, no, this is my favorite. So
it's like, a lot of love in those quilts.
Yeah, I remember hearing somewhere, I don't know, a quote somewhere or whatever that, you know, when a Native woman puts her, when a Native woman quilts or sews, she puts her prayers into that.
Mm-hmm.
And I found very true because it has been an outlet for healing, for thinking about my mom in a positive way, keeping my mind occupied, my hands busy. And it's been a healing process just working on these blankets the last since December. December 2017, it's already 2019, it's been over a year.
And every one of those babies, when they're wrapped up in that, they can feel all that love,
so too. I always try to think about, you know, the baby that this is going to be and the memories that they might have or that they might drag it around and rip it up, get it dirty, who knows, you know. You know, might get, you know, put away for them till later or something. You know, I try to think about, you know, kind of that. And, you know, I think about my own daughter, you know, when we used to do blankets for her and stuff like that. Or all the babies in our family, which we totally did not get to finish doing. There's way too many babies in our family. Me and Mom did that with a few of, like, my daughter's generation babies and in our family. But, I mean, I have 27 first cousins, so.
Wow.
And they were all having kids, so we did not keep up at all.
No, they just did. Just got out of control. We can only make so many quilts, so that's how many babies you have this year.
I was just thinking about that, you know, all your prayers and your good thoughts and your love and what your mom gave you and what the woman from Inger gave you. It's like when you wrap that baby up, you're wrapping them up in all this beautiful it's almost like their ancestors and their ancestral energy is in that, and your energy is in that, and that's what.
That's how I kind of like to think of it, you know. Keep the positive thoughts, even if it's being difficult, because sometimes they just don't want it to work out the way they want to work out, and just let it flow, you know. Try to keep it positive and try to think about good things so that I want to have a good experience with each blanket I make. And kind of put a lot of thought into them. You know, if it's not looking right, I'll tear it out. If, you know, might go in a completely different direction sometimes. So, this is kind of...
You have a lot of people commission your work, right?
Lately, I've been having, specific colors, or especially the larger blankets are usually pre-ordered. I don't make those just to have on hand.
Right.
I try to involve them in the process as much as possible, from picking out the colors to giving them different... pattern ideas that I come up with and see what they like, what they prefer, and kind of go that, you know. They have a lot of say in the order that, you know, the colors are going to go, what color their background's going to be, what's going to be the border, what's going to be the backing, you know.
Nice.
That's really nice.
So it's a piece of them, too. I mean, they've had a piece of all that.
They help design.
So that's even more positive energy going into that baby.
Yep.
I just think that, you know, blankets, and especially star blankets as gifts for babies, is one of the most beautiful things that you can give a baby, you know, especially when you've got all that good energy and all that. I haven't really thought that deeply about that ancestral teachings and love being in that blanket before today, but for some reason, I just, like, if I was going to honor a baby, it was going to be with a star blanket.
That's why I bought the one that I bought, that I will make it over to her house before baby graduates college.
I bought this for you when you were little.
But I absolutely love that one. And granted, baby is a girl and the colors are in blues, but that spoke to me. And it was like, who said that it had to be in pinks or certain colors for a gender? Who came up with that idea? And because of the materials that are in there that spoke to me, it was like giving her a piece of me too.
Yeah, so even though I was like blacks and turquoise
and horses.
Yeah. You know? I found that material. I was just like, I bought a material. I'm like, I can get 4 blankets out of that. I haven't done the other 3 yet, but
they better not be the same color blue.
Oh, no. Well, that brings me to another thing. All my blankets are individual. They're not. I don't repeat the same color pattern.
Oh,
there's
okay.
always going to be something different, whether it's the way the ties, not even just the ties, but actual the way the colors are, different shades or different border, different, you know.
Uh-huh.
There's no 2 that are exactly alike. So.
I like that. I love that individuality aspect.
So I mean, like, they do have pictures for people to look at when they order, you know, and want to pick up their blanket and make sure to tell them right that I won't do that exactly the same, but this is, you know, what we could do this or do that, you know, change it up.
Very nice.
So
you are a recipient of a grant to be able to design material? No, I can't talk about that.
Through Region 2 Arts Council, I received a grant from the Knight Foundation that funds that. So I got 3 quilts that will be coming out in September, beginning of September, end of August.
Nice.
I've been hush-hush about my patterns, so.
Well, I didn't ask you about your patterns, but.
About the theme and the patterns, but I'm pretty excited about it. Something I haven't done before, kind of more on the just straight artistic side instead of being like something that's for somebody to use. I get to do something that's just like visual and creative and kind of have fun with
it. So you're going to have a show somewhere, or is it going to be?
I think they put them up for 3 months through Region 2.
Okay.
I'm not sure where at. They kind of, I think they vary where they display them at, but they'll have them in their possession for a while there.
So keep your eye out for when are they coming out?
They're due September, so it'll probably be the fall.
So the fall,
winter, somewhere around there.
Yeah, keep your eye out for
the colors. Oh, we will be announcing it a lot. I'm in awe of your work, and I am so glad that you're part of every First Friday event.
And that's how people can get hold of you, too, is like you're always at the Bemidji First Friday Art Walks, which is obviously the first Friday of every month, at the Northwest Indian Community Development Center. You're pretty much a regular there, right?
Yeah,
so people
much.
Are in the market for a baby star. Are you on Facebook?
I am on Facebook. All my blankets are on Lily Patty Designs, LILLYPADDY Designs. I'm a little different with spelling, yes, I know. But in that, I chose that because my mom's nickname was Toad, so that was the whole reason I started doing this was, you know, to get her stuff done. So I'm still working on it, slow but sure, but it's getting there. So we always, you know, teased her about moving around and jumping lily pad to lily pad. So Will's like, I'm gonna do Lily Patty Designs. You'll see a little frog on my stand, and that's in her memory and her honor. But yeah, my blankets are on there, and you try to, you know, post as I finish them, or not before the customer gets them or before they get to gift them, but I usually try to get everything posted on there to show the work and the different variations and ideas. And
so people can visit that site and see your work and contact you through that, too.
Yeah.
You know,
and I can tell you, too, if you start working with Dee and you need to message her, she's on the spot answering. So working with you through the First Fridays has been an awesome experience. I'm so glad that we've met and had this experience together. And then your quilts, I'm in awe over anybody that can sew me and the sewing machine. We argue.
When I got this new machine, I was just like, there's been some headaches with it here and there. Getting to learn it, because otherwise I was sewing on a machine I bought that my mom bought me for my 16th birthday.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, 16, and I'm, you know, a lot older now.
So how old is that machine?
But, so, I mean, you got to think, we got that, you know, mid-late 90s, and it's 2014, or 2019, it's not even 2014, 2019, I lost 5 years there. But, and, you know, I had to take it apart. It was just, like, slugging away, and I'm like, oh, no. I was kind of in the middle of a couple of orders, and I was kind of stressing a little bit, and I was like, I better go get this other sewing machine. So I went and got another sewing machine, but I'm still trying to learn it a little bit. It's a little, you know, what it can handle, what it can't.
What brand did you get?
I got a Singer, so it's, like, just kind of not a real expensive, fancy one, but it's digital, so I'm kind of keep forgetting to press the buttons to set the stitch length and start out, and I'm like, why is this not sewing right?
So, what was the brand that you had for so long?
It was a Euro Pro X little blue machine that I don't know where my mom got it, and that thing, like, when I do blankets, I, you know, I like to do the self-binding where the back is folded over out of the front, to, you know, so it's not an individual piece that's going to come, you know, that could come off one day. It's all one piece of fabric to fold over on the edge. I tried doing the Minky bags, thicker back, with the flannel, and my ear curl flies right through it, and no needle. I think my new machine, I broke about 4 needles already. Wow. So, otherwise, I was working on the same needle I had from who knows how long ago.
I never even heard of that brand. I mean, like, where did your mom get this?
I don't know. So my old blue, might as well call it, they took that whole thing apart, put it back together, amazingly one piece. I didn't have nothing left over. Cleaned it out, all it was one little bitty thread stuck in a gear.
Oh, okay.
And it's back working the way it was before. So
that's sweet.
That's good.
So I'm like, I think I'm gonna save that one for, like, my thicker projects. And then I was like, now I realize how people end up with more than one sewing machine that they use.
Yeah. So I have to ask this question. When you sew, do you sew with shoes on?
Nope.
It's so impossible.
Like, at the Tribal College on Sundays, we get together every other week, and I just put all the sewing machines out because they didn't have an extension person at that time, and they had all these sewing machines, and I thought, why are they just, like, sitting there? So I would go in, and then people could just come in and sew, and we had all this material donated by Ken Mitchell, and, like,
oh, wow.
But what I noticed was when everybody come in and start ironing and figuring out what they're going to do, and they'd all take their shoes off.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sewing. I was just working, and I'm like, why do they take their shoes off? And then one time, Shirley the Duke came in, and she had on moccasins, and she took her moccasins off. Okay, so then I had this little, as I like taking pictures, so I was taking pictures of people's feet, because, you know, they'd come in with shoes, and then as time went on, their shoes were off, or one shoe was off, and it just became this thing with me. I'm like,
I never really thought of it, but no, I don't. Like,
you cannot.
I don't wear shoes in the house anyway, but it's usually, like, my socks. I've, you know, wear my slippers here and there, but usually that ends up coming off too.
That's what I'm thinking.
Your foot has to touch the pedal, and it cannot have any.
It varies the speed. I mean, it's. You know, it's an instrument, you know?
I want to know if you guys take your shoes off when you drive, then.
I do.
Not usually.
Usually I kick my, if the one that's on the accelerator, it's usually I kick that shoe off.
If I'm wearing different shoes than I normally would, sometimes I will.
Funny, you guys are, you sewing people are funny.
Different breed. No, I'm just kidding.
Unique. Well, I thank you so much for your time of sitting down and visiting with us about your craft and your love that you put into your blankets.
Well, thank you for inviting me. Thank you for having me. You guys made this fun. So
good. I'm glad.
This program has been funded by the Legacy Arts, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota.